These last words from the Gospel of Matthew are very closely linked to our parish priority plan. So Jesus, immediately before he ascends into heaven, go make disciples. Go make disciples. So our parish priority plan, the parish purpose, is creating disciples and living the stewardship way of life. So yes, it's all about discipleship. That's the heart of it. And the beautiful thing about this passage, I think it can really highlight the connection between the three priorities of our parish priority plan of enhancing the Sunday Mass experience, living the new evangelization, and cultivating the spiritual life. So, and the beautiful thing about this passage as we begin, it gives us another template or maybe a vision for how we come to Mass. Yesterday, as I was coming back from the ordinations at the Church of the Magdalene, 10 men were ordained. I talk about a parking problem, and they have a lot of parking over there. So it was something else. But there's actually an article in the Wichita Eagle today about the ordination. So I was coming back, and I drove past WSU. The Mass lasted 2.5 hours. Yeah. You think my homilies are long. Okay. And so my niece was throwing the discus at the state track meet, so it was packed. I missed it because the Mass went a little bit long, but I've seen her throw before. This was kind of the end of the spring season for high school athletics. And so, you know, the best of athletes and the best of teams were playing. And if you watch them, as I, you know, watch my niece in the past, there's a lot of focus to get their game face on, right? A lot of preparation so that when the game begins or the event starts, that they're fully engaged and participating. They're not walking through it mindlessly. All of those who were participating in their sport mindlessly, their season was done already, right? So you think about athletes and the way that they prepare and that the way that they engage and enter into their sport. That can easily translate into what happens at Mass for us. That we prepare, that there is some kind of work that's done in anticipation of Mass so that when we're here, we're fully engaged. We're not distracted. We're not somewhere else. And we're reaping and drawing every piece of fruit and spiritual nourishment from the Mass that is possible. So this gospel passage, what do we hear? It's kind of like three parts, I think, when it comes to how we can use this passage to be a template for a way of looking at entering into Mass. So we hear that they saw Jesus. Well, what happens at Mass? We come here to see Jesus, right? We come here to see Jesus, and we know that Jesus is present in four ways during the Mass. Can anybody tell me those four ways? I could get out my wallet and have some dollar question. Four ways that Christ is present at Mass, that we encounter him. $1. This will go right into the collection. What? Yeah.
The Eucharist.
Okay, he's really present in the Eucharist. Very good. Okay. So that's one encounter. So the liturgy of the Eucharist, yes. Okay. When two or more are gathered in my name, there I am, right? So the people gathered. Don't forget to tithe. I better see a dime in that collection basket. Okay. Okay, that's number two. Yeah. In the liturgy of the word, right. They encountered him in the word, the scriptures being read. I was hoping that I had four ones. I also have a one and a 50. It was going to be bad.
That was from the 6:30 Mass. No.
The fourth way. In the priest. Very good. That's worth five. Okay, so. My John Deere wallet. Okay, so they saw Jesus. We come to Mass to see Jesus in four ways. The Word of God, when we hear the Word, it is living and true and alive. So it is seeing a way of seeing Jesus. The Eucharist, He is truly, really present. We see Him in the host and we receive Him. When two or more are gathered in my name, the community, Christ is the head. We see Jesus. And in the priest who represents Christ as the head, we see Jesus. So four ways that we encounter Christ at Mass. All right, that's what these disciples did. They saw Jesus. What was the next thing that they did? They worshiped. They then worshiped. To worship is to put everything else to the side and to say that God is the only one who is holy. He's the only one who is ultimately important. And everything else has importance only in relation to Him. And so that God is primary. So they worshiped Him. They set everything else to the side. So before you can worship, you have to see Jesus, right? So if we're somewhere else in our minds and our hearts, even though Jesus is here in the four different ways, that doesn't mean we're seeing Him, right? We have to have our game face, our game eyes on, right? We have to be engaged. And then we move to worship. Well, this is what I think is really cool, is that they didn't have everything together, their ducks in a row. They doubted. I mean, I had to read that like five times. Hear that these men had been with Jesus for 3 years, seen all of these miracles. Here they were, you know, with Jesus, the resurrected Christ, who was appearing to them after His death. They doubted. Okay, so it's okay to worship when you still have doubt in your heart, when you're struggling with your faith. So you don't wait until you have, you know, perfect conviction and certainty before you worship. They went ahead and worshiped. And they knew how they had, all of them had completely abandoned Jesus. And yet, does He bring any of that up? Nope. He accepts their worship. So we come here to worship. And we come here with doubt that our faith is not perfect. Probably everybody can say that to some degree, right? That we're struggling with our faith in some way. Join the club. All right? So the disciples doubted. Now here's where it goes to the next level. It's really amazing. So He accepts their worship, but then He goes ahead where they are at in their life, in their relationship with Him, with their faith somewhat weakened, and He sends them to go make other disciples. He commissions them in all of their insecurity, their ineptitude, that they're not prepared, they're not equipped. You ever feel like that when it comes to the life of faith and sharing the faith with others and bringing the faith to others, even with your own kids, right? Or your siblings. Who, me? I don't know enough. I'm too young. I'm not strong enough in my faith. How many excuses do we have? I have all these sins. Jesus didn't say one thing about that, and the disciples all had them. He sent them. Go. So those first two steps are done at Mass, that we see Jesus, the four encounters with Jesus. We worship. We are weak. We're incomplete. We doubt. And then what happens at the end of Mass? The last thing. You leave Mass and you don't have to think about it again. That's kind of how we almost automatically go forward. But the Mass, the dismissal at Mass is directly connected to the last words of this gospel. Jesus says what? Go make disciples. What should happen at Mass is that we encounter Him, we worship Him in our weakness, and then He sends us to go out and we have a job to do. We have work to do. So there's four different options for dismissals at Mass. I usually use go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life, right? I just use one, that way you don't have to memorize four. Okay. Did you know in the old Mass, the old Latin Mass, there was one dismissal? Does anybody know what that was? I'd say I give another, pay for another question, but with what I got in my wallet, I'm not giving that out. Okay. Yes. Ite missa est, which is Latin for go. You are sent. So when we leave Mass, the idea is that we didn't just complete our obligation. No, we're sent on mission. We're sent to go and make disciples. Now, the purpose of this homily is to connect the Mass and what happened to the disciples at the time of the Ascension and our own mission to make disciples. We don't have time this morning to talk about how to make disciples. The idea is that we need to be convicted. Our hearts need to be on fire for going out and making disciples, other followers of Jesus. And so, in just a few days, we have the coming of the Holy Spirit. The number one equipper, the person who will equip us to do this work, is the Holy Spirit. But that, my friends, is a homily for a different day.